Hello.
Hey, hey. And we're on.
Oh, is that quick? That fast, right?
Is that quick, that fast?
Oh, no, right on.
There's no mooching in the know. It's just boom. Get to it.
Well, that's good to know.
Dave, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's good to finally talk to you.
Voice to voice. We chat on Instagram, and oh my God, I'm excited because I adore and admire your work. So here we are. So real quick, just a quick intro. Thanks for joining us on my podcast, Middle Finger Happiness, Work Hard, Live Well, Don't Fuck With Me. That is the same title of my book on Amazon. But I want to just jump into this and introduce my podcast guest, Dave. It's Conry, correct?
Conry.
Well, yeah, I speak two languages. So it was like, to me, I was like Conry. So, and I love to do this in the beginning and then I do it in the middle and again in the end because everybody's listening. People can find you on Instagram at Dave Conry, and that's Conrey. And then you have a really awesome website, DaveConry.com. And I'm on your website and we're going to talk about some big changes, but thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Yay. So for the people who don't know anything about you, let's just start with that. I know you're an artist, you're a designer, you do this amazing work with cans. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the vinyl trios. Those little guys are so adorable. But just, you know, who is Dave and what does Dave do?
Oh man, that's I have a TikTok account. And my TikTok account is Dave Makes Things. And if I had to say anything, like, that is really kind of it, right? That is the perfect explanation of me, because, like you said, I'm an artist and designer. I've spent almost 20 years working professionally in design industry as a magazine publisher or magazine art director, and doing work for some of the ad clients that we would have in there and do stuff like that. But I've also, you know, as part of that was that that work, although fun and interesting, sometimes had its creative blockages because it's more production, right? You're just like, you're trying to get the magazine out the door. So then I expanded probably around 2006. I started getting back into painting. And and ever since then, I've just been in exploration. But then in 2013. The company disbanded a lot of our groups and they sold my group off to another company, and that company was too far away, so they didn't take half the staff, I was one of them. So I got laid off, and at that point I was just like, okay, well, let's make a go of this, right? And one of the things that I recognized about myself is, number one, I was really good about motivating other people to explore their creative stuff, right? To dive into their creative work, to explore the opportunities within their work as far as like making money and whatnot. And then I was also very bold and fearless when it came to making things, right? I mean, not 100% all the time, but I'm just going to try this thing over here. I'm going to try that thing over there. I'm going to try this over there.
I see you. I see you as a guy who's like not afraid to make mistakes. And it's like, this is what it looks like when you're finished. And you're like, oh, wow, that looks so badass.
Yeah.
So I think that's what some of the artists. Well, I'm definitely gonna pick your brain because how you said, you know, motivated others to create, and I'm gonna back up even further. 2013, when you got laid off, I've been there. 2015, that happened to me, and then that's when the kick in the pants was like, okay, we got to do something. So, any advice out there, especially during this crazy pandemic, COVID-19 we're going through, people have lost their jobs. Do you have any, like, I guess, knowledge nuggets or little inspirations to somebody who's thinking, well, God, you know, how do I get started with my creativity? How do I put it out there? You know, what would Dave say?
I would say really that the first thing that anybody should try to accomplish, like, say they're worried about how their work is going to look, or they're worried what people are going to say or whatnot. And I think the most important lesson that I tell people is to push back against that fear, right? Because there's a lot of fear-based ideologies with this stuff. Like, there's a lot of people like resisting it because they're, you know, they don't want to hear what other people think of their work. And I keep telling people that most of those fears that you have are all in your head, right?
True.
People are inherently cool and nice and at least polite enough that if you put something out, even if it's not the greatest work ever, you did something more creative than most of them have. And if they see it, they're going to appreciate it, right?
And we also live in this time where, I mean, for most people, I say younger people, that, you know, we're in this picture world where we just swipe, scroll our finger, you know, we look and we're like, ooh, that looks good, tap, tap. And so for me as an artist, when you don't get enough likes, it used to bother me. Now it doesn't. I mean, my eyes don't even blink. If they like it, great. If they don't, great. Bottom line is, did I help somebody feel good for the moment? You know, or give them some inspiration. So for a new artist, you know, because your work, you put that out there. Like you put one out there the other day about don't worry what others think. It was something like that, to that level. So how did you come up with that and then incorporate it into your can things with these cans that you do?
Yeah. Well, so a lot of my art lately, and at least in the last, I don't know, probably 18 months, 24 months, has all been very visceral responses to things, right? Like something happens, whether it's internally or externally, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I just have this impulse to create something based around that. And
it's almost like an artist has a journal on visual. It's like your journal. Like I can tell, oh, he's going through this or she's going through that, because their art is a journal.
Right. You know, and some of it is relatively, like, some people read into it the right way. Some people read into it more, like, they take it, like, meaning they personalize it, right? They read it, and it may feel different to them than it does to me, but they still personalize it. And some people get it completely wrong, right? But, you know, that's the nature of the beast, right? But, like, so that one that I put out there was more of, like, I was really frustrated with how Instagram and just the nature of a lot of social media is like pulling away from giving opportunities to people, right? Instead of promoting, they're pulling back and forcing you into these these algorithms or the causing you to buy ads or whatever. And it really frustrated me that that Instagram is just like this. And of course it's been this way for a while, but there was something about it. And I don't exactly remember what it was, but it was just like this moment where it just said, you know what? I'm not going to give a fuck anymore. I'm just going to do it. And I apologize if I'm dropping the F-bomb. I know you middle finger.
You have one on here. It says, this is my lane. You just didn't know it because I was parked for a minute.
Yeah. So now that was in regards to, you know, like in a response to, all the Black Lives Matter stuff that happened after George Floyd. And I was sharing this stuff, and I was sharing it on TikTok, and I was sharing it on Instagram, and I was sharing, and I just got these comments from people like, yeah, just be an artist and make people feel good. And it's the equivalent of saying, stay in your lane. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this has always been my lane, right? To speak my mind has always been my lane. I was just parked for a minute because I wasn't speaking out directly about Black Lives Matter. Right. I've always felt this way about this stuff. And so I'm going to express it, and you're not going to stop me. Right.
Right. And, you know, it's such a sensitive subject. And so it's damned if you do and damned if you don't. So we're kind of like this, you know, everybody has their way of dealing with it. And then as for artists, if you're really a brave artist and you're not out there to please anybody, you're just creating from within, it comes out.
Yeah, precisely.
As this comes out. So I had a couple of questions, because I know that the people that are going to be listening are like, what? He does cans, he does wood panels. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about those three little dudes that you do. Those little, they're so adorable. Like, where'd you come up with those little guys?
Well, so I these things are called, I did one earlier that was a bigger one. And I just wanted to, I had one around from years ago, because, you know, other artists were doing them, and like they're kind of like these vinyl toys from a company called Kid Robot, and they're called Munnies. And the one I had before was about a 6 or 8 inch tall one. And I did that one. And then I had another one, or I was at the art store and I saw they had small ones. I said, oh, I'm going to grab one of those. So I grabbed one and I did it, and it sold right away. And then a friend of mine on Facebook, she said, well, if you did three of them, I would buy them right up. And so I...
Yeah, a little set of three.
Yeah. So I did them. And this is also kind of like, she had actually suggested something in regards to that same idea, that whole, because she's very political, she's very Democrat, and she was like saying more something very Black Lives Matter. And I said, well, I don't necessarily want to do anything so dramatic like that, because number one, it wasn't what I was exactly feeling at the moment, and it was going to be very timely, right? It's going to be timely. And so what I wanted to do was something about like being of, because you know, they're all lettered, and they all say, one says I, one says C, one says you, and it's I see you.
Right? I see you.
It's more about recognizing that I see you as an individual. I see you as a human being.
And you know what? I took it that way.
Yeah.
I see you too. That was,
yeah.
And what about your unbranding branding? That's what I call it. Like, because when you wrote that, I was like, oh my God, he's a man after my own heart. The finely crafted branding, we see all these, you know, everything. They say we have our brand, you know, mm-hmm. you are your brand. And, you know, I'm seeing people going further away from that finely, like you said, that finely crafted brand where everything has to matchy match. And it's, you know, what are your thoughts on that, as far as if somebody again is new and they're trying to promote themselves with their art and then their branding or no branding?
Well, and it's, this is going to be really kind of up to the individual, but more so this is like giving permission to people to not care so much about the perfectly curated Instagram feed, right? The, you know, where every post is perfectly in line with every other post that came before it, or that the art has to be so immaculate before it ever sees the light of day, that, you know, like, I don't agree with that idea. Your technique and your skill can be different than mine. Mine is very rough. Mine is very raw, right? You can be a highly skilled illustrator and still not worry about what, like the fine details that most people will not see or care about, right? And it's really just comes down to that. It's just like, get the work out, or like, you know, Steve Jobs said, is that real artists ship, right? So get your stuff out there and then, you know, fix it if you want to fix it later, right? That's why I always share work in progress stuff. I always share work in progress.
Love that. There's, what's his name? Cleon, Austin Cleon.
Austin Cleon,
Love him. Steal Like an Artist, and then another one he wrote. But like you said, progress is messy, and I don't think people understand that. Perfect. So when somebody looks at your beautiful Instagram, because your Instagram's it's alive. I mean, it jumps out, and you think, wow, this guy really spent a lot of time on it. But if you look closely, you're just sharing your art journal. I mean, it's your journal of your work. In other words, show your work. Also, like on Austin Kleon's level of show your work. So is that another tip you would think for somebody to get motivated? Again, I'm really trying to help anybody who's listening who is in a funk with either less hours from work, or they've had to completely reinvent themselves, and they're like, hey, you know what? I might want to tap into my creativity.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we show our work out there, how important do you think like hashtags are as well?
Wow, that's okay. So that's an interesting one. And I think that, you know, I'm not a hashtag expert. In fact, I've experimented, like on Instagram specifically, I've experimented with using lots of hashtags. I've experimented with using no hashtags and everything in between. And I think that what I have found to be the most effective, and I still don't always hold to this myself, but what I have found to be the most effective is finding hashtags that are as relevant as you possibly can get, even if they're small hashtags, right? But not, you know, and you can use the occasional big hashtag, right? You know, say artist, right? It could, you know, but the fact of the matter is you're probably not going to get seen on that one, you know, like.
And I'm actually discovering that myself. I'm kind of pulling back because there's a million of those.
Yeah.
And so it's healthier to go to, this hashtag only has, you know, 5,000 follows in it, or 500 even. It's a small batch hashtag.
Yeah. And I think that you can find a niche, like, especially if you're doing something local related. Like, I mean, if you type in hashtag H-Town, right, you're going to get a little bit more connectivity to your community, right? Or I'm in Long Beach, California. If I type Long Beach artist, I'm going to get a little bit more connectivity to my community. And so there is that, right? right? So, you know, using them wisely, don't just like spam the hell out of tags. That would be my advice, really. But
wait, it's a live and learn.
Yeah, right. But I also think that I think that sometimes Instagram works at cross purposes against that too. I think that there is a certain level that they are only pumping up people that have popular have occupied the popular space within those hashtags. And like, you know, when you go to any hashtag, like you tap on a hashtag and then you see the exploration aspects, right? The first one that they always show you is the popular ones. Now you can go to recent, right? You can go to recent, but that's an extra click, right? And so all these extra clicks that are you require people to do are extra clicks that they're probably not going to do unless they are uniquely connected to you. So I think that really the most important thing you can do, even beyond hashtags, is just be, number one, engaging, compelling, as thought-provoking as you possibly can on those places, so that people are drawn to it and want to, instead of just like you said, flip, click, click, flip, click, click, right? They want to stop, right? Stop them in their tracks. That's going to be the thing that gets people's attention. So
yeah, because it used to be we had, and you coming from the magazine industry, the design background, it's we used to be able to have, what was it, you had a minute, you could hold someone's attention for a minute. Now it's down to 7 seconds, and I think even 3, I read somewhere.
Yeah,
like we're so all over the place. Our brains are like, those neurons look like a Christmas tree bundled up wire from, you know, Chevy Chase's movie when he brings out all the Christmas tree wires. But we've got to jump out, you know, in those 3 seconds. Anything that you do for creative blockages? Because you mentioned that earlier. So how do you, because we all, it all happens to us.
Yeah.
You know, what do you, when you have a creative blockage?
You know, I have a couple of different approaches to this, right? If I feel really blocked, like so creatively blocked that I just don't feel like motivated to do anything, or like I just don't have any view of anything, I go outside. I go outside, I get some sunshine, I go to the gym, I get some sort of exercise, because I think that you stimulate your brain or your mind or your body in different ways, then you're going to find things. I'll listen to podcasts or I'll listen to music, and something within that will sometimes trigger me to create something. Like a thought will pass between two people talking, and I'm like, oh, there's something there, right? And I'll immediately, like, I'll just stop the podcast. I'll go to whatever app I have available to me right away. Usually it's Procreate Pocket, or I have another app that I use called Over. And I'll just make something really quickly. Like, and it's not necessarily something I'll post right away, but it's something that I make so that I have a reference to it and I can remember it and go back and do something more later, right?
Living in the earbud world that we live in, it actually can unclog our creative constipation, so to speak. Because I'd do the same thing: get outside, get some air. What was the app that you said you use?
There's two that I use mostly. One is called Procreate Pocket. It's like Procreate is actually an iPad app that's you know, a lot of illustrators use, and it's a really great app. I don't have an iPad myself. I've experimented with it whenever I go to the Apple store, and it's a fun app. But they have a iPhone version, which is smaller. It's still pretty robust, and it's a paid app, but it's only like $5. But you can do like hand-drawn lettering stuff. A lot of the stuff that you see, like all that lettering work that I did, all usually done within Procreate Pocket with my finger, right? So
love it. Got some stuff in here that it's like, oh, you just put it in there and a little this and a little that. And, you know, and it's so funny because for you, it probably comes very easy.
Well, right? Not always. No, not always. Nope. No, a lot of it, like I said, I mean, sometimes you have to kind of force the issue, right? You have to kind of push the issue. I mean, who is it that I think it was Pablo Picasso says that inspiration exists, but it has to find you working. Right. So, you know, getting nose to grindstone, forcing yourself into some sort of creative mode, right? Even if it's just gessoing a canvas, or, you know, like just without any regard, dropping paint on a canvas or on a can, or on a, you know, a little vinyl toy, or skateboard, whatever, you know, or a wall, or whatever you do your work.
Or whatever it is. And right. You go, ooh, that looks cool. And then you start adding to it, or even stopping. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but have you ever done a canvas and it just has like three colors and very little on it, and it looks amazing because just the way the paint fell.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and often I'll put something aside for a while because I may think it's good, but I just want to set it. I want to set it aside and live with it for a little bit, because maybe there's still life in it that I haven't found yet, and it needs a day or two before I recognize that. I often do that.
I love how you said it does have a life of its own. I don't know if people who do buy art, whether it's, you know, $25 art all the way to, you know, $1 million piece of art, just depends, you know, a $400 piece of art, $800, $1,000, $10,000. It has energy. It was made with energy. You know, it was made with someone's energy, and you can't replicate that. It was like, this is how the artist was feeling. And, you know, do you listen to any cool music when you're working? And if you do, what is it?
Oh, I'm all over the place. If I'm listening to music, I listen to a broad range of stuff. I mean, I'll listen to everything from jazz to punk rock to hip hop to, you know, contemporary pop, you know, like I just whatever, you know, like I just get in modes. It just depends. A lot of times, if I want to paint aggressively, then it'll be some more aggressive music. If I want to do more chill, kind of dedicated, you know, like trying to do some more dedicated line work on something, then, you know, it'll usually be something a little bit more the low key.
Different.
So, you know, there's some people out there that say that listening to music while you're making art makes the art artificial because you're not allowing yourself to come out. You're allowing the music to channel through you. And I think that's I think that's dumb, right? I mean, it's a small contingent of hoity-toity artists that say stuff like that. And I'm just like, I'm going to listen to all the music I want, you know, because that's what kind of generates.
I have to have music in my studio. And then unless I'm meditating, I have no music, or just be outside listening to the birds chirping. Mm-hmm. So what's coming soon, or can we not ask that? What are you doing on your...
Conray.com. I'm actually planning on revamping the site a little bit, and this is interesting, and this kind of goes back to what you were asking about, you know, working within the scope of COVID-19, is that, you know, I'm not selling a ton of big art right now, because people are kind of like holding their coin purse is a little bit tight, right?
Because yeah, we're squirreling our money. That's right. What my friend said. Yeah, we're like squirrels, and we are squirreling our money. We have to.
So I'm using this time to kind of rethink the layout of my site, and I'm doing it kind of in the background. I was experimenting and playing around with some of the stuff on the site, but I'm just kind of working on a secondary design for the site right now, where it's going to be, there's still going to be plenty of art there, but it's also going to be very product or merch oriented stuff, like if it's mugs, or if it's some of my abstract work on pillows, or the figurines or whatever, and just putting more consumables type stuff out, because I think that people want art, they want creativity in their life, they want to be inspired daily by having a mug in their hand, they want stuff like that, but they just can't afford a big painting right now. They can't afford $200 or $500 or $2,000. Right. So,
and people still want to know where the inspiration came from, and how you made it, and who made it, and maybe even a small story behind it. Because that's how we connect the dots on the, I call it the human landscape. Hey, tell us about your YouTube channel. Cause I honestly, I didn't even know you had a YouTube channel until like days ago. And I was like, what?
So that's been an interesting journey. I've had one for a long time, but then about 4 years ago, I was sitting in my car watching my son play soccer, and I just, like, again, one of these moments of inspiration. I was listening to a podcast, probably Gary Vaynerchuk or somebody like that. I was listening to it, and I just had this moment of inspiration, and so I posted a video. Like, I just recorded right there in my car. I recorded a video of me talking about doing video for the next you know, consistently for the next 3 years. Like I said, I call it 36 months, right? And I was just going to do this because I'm going to make this happen, right? And right. I think it actually was right about the time that Gary started doing more daily oriented stuff. Like when he first started doing his daily V stuff, I think that was exactly because I thought to myself, like, this is a good opportunity to do things like this. And so I started doing it. But then the growth there was really, really tough. Like YouTube changed the algorithm a lot. Was making it really hard to get found partly because I was too small and they were kind of put their energy behind the people who are popular. And, but also because even though I was kind of serving the creative niche, I wasn't really talking about anything specific, right? I wasn't really discussing, like I was talking about art, but I wasn't like some of these artists who get popular on there. They're very dedicated to the idea of like sharing their art process, like drawing something on a, you know, like an overhead camera. But that's not how I work. Like it would take me sometimes weeks to film one video like that because of just the way I go about my art. So I couldn't do that. But then I started also sharing some thoughts on design related stuff. Because, you know, I'm a designer and I figured I'd share.
Is that where it kind of picked up? Is that where it kind of like, okay.
I started taking off, right? Oh, well, actually what really happened is I said I was going to leave because, you know, most designers use Adobe products, like Adobe Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign. But I had decided I was going to leave. I was going to leave there. I was going to try these new programs from a company called Affinity. And they're quality programs and they're getting a lot of attention. So I said, I'm leaving Adobe because they're charging way too much money and not giving me enough for the money that they're charging anymore. So I said, I'm leaving and I'm actually going to go to this other company. And that video started hitting really hard.
And so
then I started doing videos about the Affinity programs, specifically Affinity Photo, which is similar to Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And I did one on 10 things I like and 10 things I don't like, right? In comparison to photo to Photoshop. And those just went bananas, you know, in comparison to everything else I've done.
You took a step back and you had to kind of like remix your services, so to speak. You had to go back and go, okay, how can I, you know, you found this another platform, Affinity Photo versus Adobe. And then remix it within your art, I guess, or within your craft.
Just within, I mean, really, it's just been about talking about the program so far, right? And experimenting with that a little bit. I haven't shared a lot of it as far as art related, but like the actual process of the art, but I'm definitely getting to that point because now I feel like I've kind of laid the groundwork, right? And and ever since I started doing that, like I'm still really, really, really small in comparison, but I've gone up in the last 2 months over 1,000 followers from, you know, 600. I was 600. I'm over 1,600 now. And
have to follow you. So where can people follow you now that we've got a little bit of attention with the podcast? Where can they follow you on your...
Just at Dave Connery, like everything else, at Dave Connery. Or youtube.com/Dave Connery. You can find me there.
So you kept it all consistent.
Yeah, I tried to. The only one that I didn't was the TikTok. Because I'd actually created a TikTok account. Well, it was before when it was a musically.com or musical.ly. And I did that. And then I wasn't using it at all. And then
I like it. Dave makes things. I mean,
yeah. But yeah, the TikTok buys them. And then I couldn't get back into that account. I don't know what email address I used to get to that account before, but I couldn't get back into that account. So I was like, well, I guess I got to start a new one. So I started Dave Makes Things.
Oh, you're not the only one, dude. I've had to do that with the, yeah, it's like, what, the password? And no, I don't remember it. It was, you know, 100 years ago. And
yeah.
Well, I'm so, now I think I have a little bit of a taste for where you're going and what you're doing. And it really is inspirational, just not just art-wise, creativity-wise, but even for anybody who's like in a funk. For some reason, when we're in a funk, music and art always lift our spirits. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is about us that does that. I mean, that's just the, I don't know, what do you say to that? You know, why do you think music and art,
I think it's
so inspire people?
I think it just probably stimulates certain parts of the brain. I mean, I'm no neurologist, but I would think that it just inspires aspects, and not everybody is fully. I think music does this more than art for a lot of people. Like, more people get connected to music than anything. But I mean, I think that when people see art that really resonates with them, they get compelled by it, right? They may not necessarily want to go walking through art museums or galleries, you know, but when they see stuff, like especially on TikTok, I mean, not TikTok, on Instagram or wherever, they see it, they get drawn to it. And I think it just stimulates a part of the brain that they don't necessarily getting stimulated all the time.
And I think as little kids, you know, we're all born as artists. I mean, you look at any little kid who does some kind of crazy abstract art, and you're like, wow, that is really cool. And then somewhere down the line, we stopped doing it because we were told, I guess, you know, go to school, you know, become a whatever, fill in the blank, and, you know, do this, do that. And then that little, I call it just like a little compartmentalized department in your brain just kind of goes, okay, goodbye, and it shuts off.
Yeah.
And then if you're lucky enough to crack open Pandora's box or crack open that little creativity door again and say, hey, you know, anybody home, you know, what's going on in here? And just start doing it. So anybody who's thinking about being an artist or, you know, they're sharing, you know, I've seen Instagram accounts where people, you know, it says artist, but there's not one piece of artwork on their Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where's your art? You know?
Too fearful. Yeah.
I know. They just need to put it out there because I was nervous to put mine out. I don't know if you were in the very beginning. We mentioned that earlier. You just did it.
Yeah. I was never, I mean, when it first started, I wasn't sure what to put up there, right? It was like, you know, like West, you know, because I basically started Instagram from, I wouldn't say the very beginning, but I was there since 2009. So pretty early on. But it was, I don't know. I was all over the place. A lot of pictures of my kid and stuff like that, like everybody else. And then at a certain point.
I think all of us started out with social. I mean, I used to post pictures of pancakes. Nobody wants to see goddamn pancakes. What the hell?
I like pancakes.
I know we like pancakes, but you're like, he didn't do nothing for me. You know, you keep scrolling, but those ones that pop, those ones that you're like, whoa, what is that? So, that's, I think, where we're at right now in this period of history. It's 2020 has just been a funky year. It's been a funked up year. It's like, what else can we do, you know, to push forward? So anybody listening definitely should get their creative mojo on and go do something and do it, because it does, like you said, there's something to your brain. It does stimulate those good feelings, those endorphins.
Yeah. 100%.
There's like running and stuff. Before we leave, any advice, just small knowledge nuggets for anybody listening who already has their accounts out there. They have their social media, but they haven't done anything, and now they're going, you know what, I think I'm going to start posting what I work on.
Yeah.
Any tips for them?
Kind of going back to what we were saying about drawing as kids, like, stop worrying about coloring in the lines, right? Don't worry about coloring in the lines. You know, just go. Just put it out there, right? And stop worrying what other people think. That's really, I mean, we've said that already, but just go. Do the work, right? Do the work is what I say. I've got it on my mugs. I've got it on hats and shirts. Do the work. You got to do work in order to get anywhere else, right? You do this in your daily life, whatever job you do. If you want to get ahead in your job, you do work. If you want to get ahead as an artist, even if it's just increasing, whether it's your productivity or increasing your skill, you got to do the work, right? So stop questioning it. Stop sitting on your butt. Get to it.
And just get to it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And then I always ask a couple of silly questions because so I know you got Mexican food out there. I know you.
Oh yeah, I got two taco shops within 50 yards of my house.
I love it. So I ask, okay, so yes or no, or you pick one: corn or flour tortillas?
Oh well, I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on if you're talking tacos, corn.
Corn, okay. Salsa or queso?
Salsa.
Salsa.
We don't do queso out here in California.
You don't do queso.
No.
I gotta have your. Okay. How about the other one I had? It was either chalupa or a taco.
Taco.
A taco. Okay, cool. And then what was it? Sock, shoe, or shoe sock? Sock, sock, shoe, shoe. What comes on?
Oh, it's funny.
I know. I'm asking you these, like, people want to know, like, do you put your socks on and then your shoe, or is it sock, sock,
shoe? I have to think about this. Hold on. I don't know. I It might be sock shoe, sock shoe. I wear sandals a lot. I wear flip flops a lot.
Dave's a sock shoe guy.
Yeah, I think so.
The other one, I was always asking these funny questions. Oh yeah, when you brush your teeth, is it wet or dry on the toothbrush before the paste?
Yeah. Subtly wet, but yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what? I'm just glad we had a small opportunity to chat. I know you're super busy, and I appreciate you just, you know, popping on. I asked you last week, I think, or the week before, and I really just appreciate you because, I love your work. Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much.
So, yeah, and if there's anything that anybody can, I mean, anybody can reach you, they have all the Instagrams.
Yeah.
You're on Facebook too. I didn't even mention Facebook.
I am on Facebook, but I'm actually, like, just last night, I decided I deleted the app off my phone. I don't find any, I don't get any joy out of it anymore. So I'm kind of pulling myself away from it.
Relationship, yes, with Facebook. It's just, I don't know what's going on with it. And I have too. I've deleted apps in order to get work done.
Yeah.
That's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you have to.
You can't find me there. Like, well, my page is, like, my business page is Dave Conry Art, because my personal account is Dave Conry, but my personal account is going to be basically vacant for probably a while, because most of the time I spend online is on my phone, and if I don't have the app, I'm not going to use it, right? I do post to the page, but usually it's posted from Instagram anyway, so you might as well just follow me on Instagram.
I think Instagram's a really great place, though, for creatives. I mean, it really is. I have a great time on Instagram. I enjoy it. And sometimes you have to do a detox, a social media detox. I know in Christmas, I took 2 weeks off. I took the last 2 weeks of Christmas off and got so much done. And it's like, it's almost time to do another one.
Yeah.
You know, we're halfway through the year. Well, my friend, I want to say thank you for being here. It was a joy. And then so we'll put all this inside the podcast thing where they can contact you.
Perfect.
Anybody listening, anyone wants to reach out to Middle Finger Happiness, it's middlefingerhappiness@gmail.com. That's where you can send an email, of course, or you can always go to middlefingerhappiness.com and find me there. And again, Dave, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any last words?
No, that's it. Do the work. Get to it.
Do the work. Love it.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see each other soon.
Okay, take care. Thanks.
Peace out. Bye.